Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My feeling on Giannis right now is that great clutch performance last night. I don't think there's any... I don't think it's just a coincidence that they go out and they win by 15 in a grinded out game, in a game where Giannis takes 0 3-pointers, where he's not pulling up on the dribble. Like, these 3-pointers Giannis takes, I already feel like they're a turnover waiting to happen. They're the equivalent of a turnover because he's not a very good 3-point shooter. He can knock them down, but he takes them completely out of rhythm. Like, he gets the ball ISO'd at the top, and he does through the legs, crosses over, and shoots, you know, standing jump shots from 3-point range. And I feel like saying, dude, look in the mirror.
It's an ugly jump.
You're a praying mantis. Well, yeah. He is the most dangerous kind of 3-point shooter to his own team. A little like Russell Westbrook, where it's just because you can make a 3-pointer,
right,
doesn't mean you should be taking them on the regular. You know, if you're wide open, if they leave you open, if they're backing off of you, then you have to take it, because otherwise, then you're Ben Simmons is what you are.
Yeah.
So if they're leaving you open, you got to take it. But you don't need to be taking them. You don't need to be creating your own 3-point. Like, let James Harden do that. Let guys like that do that.
Take the open three within the flow of the offense.
Yes.
Let's not try to be, you know, James Harden and take step back threes just because you have the ability to do so. Like, Giannis, you do have the ball in your hand a tremendous amount of time, but let's not overdo it and be something that you're not. You need to be penetrating, get into the hole, finishing at the basket, drawing fouls, being able to draw the defense down and distribute a dish it to open guys that actually do shoot. That's his best course of action. I wouldn't be surprised in game 7 if he shoots seven or eight threes.
Just because, I know.
Like I said, I don't trust him. I don't trust him in when it matters the most. I've yet to see him be that guy. And you might say, well, last night, you know, they played well. He played well in game 6. There's a difference between a game 6 elimination and a game 7 elimination. I think it's a different mentality, a different mindset going into that ball game. And when the team you're playing against knows they have another mulligan, I think what you get out of them is not quite the same as what you're going to get in game 7.
And it'll be a hostile environment tomorrow night.
For sure. You're not at home.
Yeah.
You're going to be on the road against Brooklyn. I see them coming out and getting that dub.
I got to go see what the line is on that game. Someone told me that the Bucks are actually favored in that game. They were favored in game 5 in Brooklyn.
Well, I mean,
now they were winning
there's
a
no
lot
Kyrie.
Of that game.
There's no Kyrie, and James Harden is hobbled. So, you know, it makes sense to make a line in that way. But I look at, you know, the less technical factors. It's more of the eye test. Like, man, listen, is Giannis going to make good decisions when it matters the most?
Yeah.
Are the coaches for the Bucks going to exploit the weaknesses of the Brooklyn Nets because they have so many guys or key guys out?
Like, yeah,
I don't see that happening. And I do see KD being clutch, and so he can win a game by himself. It's different than football. It's different than a lot of other sports. He can go out and win a game, and I think he will.
What do you think the line? I've got the line right here. What do you think the line is on that game?
Probably
on
like,
game 7 in Brooklyn, Nets and Bucks.
Probably like -1.5
for the Bucks.
For the Bucks, yeah.
It's Brooklyn -1. That sounds
Brooklyn
more right
one.
To me. I just say it, I think between Giannis's playoff history, and it's still Kevin Durant. And a hobbled but not an ineffective James. Like,
you were asking me about what game 7.
Yeah,
I
game
thought
seven.
You were asking me what it was for
oh, last
game
night?
Six. Yeah,
oh,
yeah, yeah.
Okay, no, for
yeah,
game 7. No, yeah. What I was saying was that, and I'm sorry, you get all these games conflated. In game 5, and I may have said game 6, and if I did, I apologize. Game 5, the game in Brooklyn,
uh-huh.
the swing game in this series at the time, was the Bucks were actually favored in that game in Brooklyn.
But that was the game that both guys were out, right?
That was the game Harden played in that game. That was the first game back from the hammy for Harden.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that was it. And so, and Brooklyn was +2.5 with a full strength Kevin Durant. And I guess maybe that is you don't, at that point, you didn't know if James Harden was going to play 46 minutes or 46 seconds.
Right, that's right.
Going so you're kind of playing in the middle.
Yeah.
And he wound up playing 46 minutes. It wasn't a great 46 minutes. He was 1 of 10 from the field. But even just having James Harden out there, I mean,
you got to honor him.
You got to honor him.
You got to honor him.
Yeah, that's a perfect way to put it.
Opens up the offense.
You got to honor him. Wade Smith in for Seth Payne here on Payne and Pendergast Sports Radio 610. My other thing with the NBA playoffs, Wade, is with Giannis, is that if he doesn't win the title this season now, the way the season has broken for the Bucks, because this has been a weird season and postseason, mm-hmm. to where, as LeBron pointed out in his I Told You So, was that it's been a war of attrition. I mean, there's just injuries. The Lakers are one of those teams. They didn't have Anthony Davis. That's a big reason why they lost. Miami Heat had to play in the finals last year, and then, you know, they're banged up. They're a six seed. They get swept by the Bucks in embarrassing fashion. There's seven teams still left in the playoffs right now because the Phoenix Suns swept the Nuggets. So there's seven teams left. I would say Milwaukee is the only team out of those that's healthy.
Yeah.
And they're the only team whose MVP is – whose team MVP is healthy. And I'm just going to rattle through this, and I'll see if you agree or disagree. Like this – it will never set up better for Giannis to finally put the haters to bed than it does this postseason. The other six teams left in the playoffs, Philadelphia, Joel Embiid, probably would have been league MVP if he'd stayed healthy.
Yeah.
He's got a bum knee that comes and goes. Brooklyn, James Harden. I think you could argue James Harden is the MVP of the Nets. Some would argue KD. I just say look at the record with and without a Harden. It's a different team. Anyways, he's got a hand. He's an MVP caliber player.
Yeah.
Hamstring. Trae Young. Puts that gigantic warming pad on his shoulder every time he leaves the floor for Atlanta. And he's kind of slight of build. He's banged up. And then the three teams that are still left in the West, Donovan Mitchell, you know, he's both his legs are banged up right now. He's got an ankle and a knee. Chris Paul's in COVID protocols now, of all things.
You don't even know when he's going to come back.
Yep. And then Kawhi Leonard might be out for the rest of the playoffs for the Clippers.
Yeah, it's set up for the Bucks to run the table because a lot of times the healthiest team is going to be the one to run the table, especially when there's a lot of evenly matched ball clubs. But you have to factor in is how clutch are you, how willing are you, or how able are you to exploit these advantages that you have over these other teams. And in Game 5, you didn't see that. Now, they played a lot better last night. But can they put two performances together like that back-to-back when it's all on the line?
Yeah.
And Giannis has shown over the years that he has not been that guy when it matters the most. And so until he does it, you're going to keep having questions about him doing it. And so that's why I have my questions. Until you go out there and do it when it matters the most, I'm going to feel like you're not going to be able to.
All right, we should mention, too, we didn't mention it in headlines, but we should mention it here, the news earlier this morning, that Marcus Cannon, Texans, I guess penciled in at tackle right now, from what the sounds of it with James Campen saying that Marcus Cannon's probably not going to move from tackle. Marcus Cannon had arthroscopic knee surgery following OTAs. The expectation is that he hopes to be back for training camp. Wade, you have played the same position as Marcus Cannon, and you've had scopes on your knees as well. Is it reasonable to think that a 32-year-old Marcus Cannon could be back by the end of July?
I think it's reasonable, but I think there's a reason for a serious amount of concern of what level of play is he going to be able to put out there on the field, even though he is back. Because I was able to come back from a knee scope after 3 weeks of rehab, but I was probably, I don't know, 65-70% of myself when I was out there on the field mm-hmm. playing against the San Diego Chargers on a Monday Night Football. Like I looked at myself watching the film and like, damn, I look like trash. I couldn't move. I couldn't plant like I normally would. I was an athletic offensive lineman,
right.
And I was not athletic in that game at all. And so it takes time to fully recover and to start to feel like yourself, regain your strength and power that you once had. And so at the age of Marcus Cannon, that's something that you definitely have to be concerned about. Can he come back and play at the level that he's accustomed to playing, especially since he missed the entire year of football last year because he decided to sit out because of COVID?
All right. Deshaun Watson is about to get company in the $40 million per year club. Is this guy worth it? We'll get Wade Smith's thoughts on that. He's in for Seth Payne. You're listening to Payne and Pendergast. Stay there.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We just got done talking about the NBA playoffs. I guess we need to be mindful that there is another strata of activity going on in the NBA. We should be especially mindful of it in this city where our team is not in the playoffs. There's a draft lottery coming up on Tuesday next week. You can listen here at 7 o'clock Tuesday night. Adam Spillane and I will be hosting a lottery special here on Sports Radio 610. But there are trades being agreed to. They're not being consummated. They can't be consummated until the business year begins next year, but teams can at least agree to trades. And one of the bigger names in the NBA is on the move. The Celtics. Brad Stevens' first move, I guess, as general manager of the Celtics. Not hiring a coach. It's trading one of his marquee players. The Celtics are trading Kemba Walker and the number 16 overall pick in the upcoming draft and a 2025 second round pick to Oklahoma City for Al Horford, Moses Brown, and a 2023 second round pick. I'd have to go look at the contracts involved in this deal. This feels like this. Kemba Walker has not really been living up to the deal he signed with the Celtics.
Yeah.
This feels like a couple of teams kind of shuffling some things around to get contract, to get the books clean.
Yeah.
And that Kemba's on a team where Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown do a lot of handling of the ball. They've got Marcus Smart on that team as well. A lot of redundancy on that team. So why pay Kemba Walker a max deal to do that? And we'll go get Al Horford, who's a big, who maybe fits a need for us more and kind of clean the books up going forward.
Yeah, that's exactly what it sounds like. When you look at the ages of the guys and you look at, you know, what you're going to get back effectively as far as play on the court, you would say that the Celtics are kind of losing in this trade. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the fact that, you know, the contract that they're getting off the books and the fact that the guys that they have coming back are not going to be around, I would think, for that long. I mean, Al Horford, he seems like he's about ready to.
He was on those Florida teams that won championships in like 07.
He's about ready to go ahead and walk off into the sunset. So they're trying to clear things up so they can make moves going forward. And this is Brad Stevens trying to get the books clear so he can do and build the team the way he wants it built.
Landry Locker just texted the two of us and said, hey, Rick Carlisle likes Al Horford. He has for a while. I guess the conspiracy theory there would be that Carlisle, who stepped down as the coach of the Mavs yesterday.
Yeah,
I mean, my
stomach hurts.
They've got some wild stuff going on with the Mavs that look very familiar, I would imagine, to Texan fans.
Yeah.
Just in terms of some odd things going on in the front office and people deciding to jump ship. But the conspiracy theory, Landry's conspiracy theory, being that Rick Carlisle, a former Celtic as a player, would wind up coaching the Celtics, and that this could be Brad Stevens kind of going ahead and arranging the furniture the way that Rick Carlisle might like it there, as opposed to several other coaching candidates.
I could see that. I could see Rick Carlisle deciding to go back home per se and going back to Boston, and Brad Stevens making him a guy. He's a hell of a coach. Like, you know, he's one of the top coaches in the NBA, and he has been over the past 15 years or so. And so That makes a lot of sense, and we'll see if it comes true or not. But the Celtics trading Kemba Walker, they didn't get out of him what they thought they were, and Danny Ainge is now out, I guess you could say, because of it.
Yeah, I think that signing not working out to the degree that they wanted it to would be a big reason why the pressure cooker was on Ainge and he stepped down. So Deshaun Watson, it would appear, is about to get company in the $40 million per year club. I know Deshaun's deal is somewhere around there, whatever. You guys know what I mean. Elite quarterback money. Basically, you've got a bunch of quarterbacks who are trying to become the second highest paid guy. Nobody's getting Mahomes money anytime soon. So it's going to be this revolving door of guys one-upping the previous guy to have the second best contract in the NFL. Lamar Jackson would appear to be that person. It was Dak Prescott. It was, you know, first it was Deshaun Watson getting close to Mahomes contractually. Then Dak Prescott leapfrogged Deshaun. It would appear Lamar Jackson is going to be next, according to some reports out of Baltimore. Here's Lamar Jackson when he was asked about it the other day following practice.
I ain't going to lie to you. I'm not really focused on that right now. I'm focused on getting me a Super Bowl. You know, I'm focused on getting better. I'm focused on working with my teammates right now. I don't really, you know, whatever was out there, put out there, that's what it is. You know, I'm, like I said before, I'm focused on winning right now. I'm trying to bring me a Super Bowl here.
Yeah, John Harbaugh, his head coach, was a lot more candid about it. He said it's a done deal. He's going to get his money. It's just a question of how he adapts to being, you know, the man from both an on-field and a contractual standpoint. Wade, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield. Those are the three 2018 draftees that I think everybody expects to get big mega quarterback deals at some point. Would you pay which of those guys, or would you pay all three of them, this offseason? Which of them do you expect to get big mega deals, and which ones would you give big mega deals?
I mean, I'm very, very, very hesitant on Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, he's got to show me again that he can play at a high level for a consistent period of time. And if I'm a Cleveland Browns, I might feel like with the offensive scheme we run and the fact that we're so run heavy and we have two great running backs that dictate to teams we play and make it so easy for my quarterback, I'm not so much in a rush to go ahead and pay Baker Mayfield. Now, Josh Allen, on the other hand, you got to pay that guy. Like, you know, you pay him now because it's going to cost you money later. They're going to do nothing but get better offensively because Diggs isn't going anywhere. He's still very relatively young. He's a guy in his prime. They're going to figure out how to run the ball a little bit better, so it's going to make the game easier for Josh Allen. I think he's one of the guys you pay now instead of waiting to later. And Lamar Jackson is a game changer, and so he has been since he's been a starter. Like Lamar was saying, he hasn't gotten over the hump and won enough, strung it together to where he has enough big games to where you say, you know, yeah, I demand to be the number one quarterback paid in the league. It's actually humbling him, but I think you can take advantage of that if you're the Ravens with the deal you offer him. But he is the Ravens. Like, the fans love him. What he brings to the table as far as marketability and game changingness, like my guy. Show said.
He said game changingness.
Game changingness. Yeah, I wish we had the job going, but game changingness. I don't know why that popped in my head, but because
you're allowed to make up words in radio. Yeah, I got no problem with that.
That is for sure. There is a drop in there, and it's of Show saying that word, but it fit at that moment. But yeah, like what he brings to the table as far as that, I would pay Lamar as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, on one hand, I would say, if we've learned anything in giving these mega extensions to quarterbacks after 3 years in the league, that trend really started with the 2016 class, where Jared Goff and Carson Wentz both got mega deals after their third season. Both of them had been to Super Bowls. Wentz had put a team in position to get to a Super Bowl before he hurt his knee.
Yeah.
Goff literally got to a Super Bowl. I was hesitant about giving either of those guys that money at the time, though. Goff, because I just didn't think he was that good.
Correct.
And Wentz, because he couldn't stay healthy. And as it turned out, I was right on both of those.
Mm-hmm.
Mahomes and Watson, I feel like those check the box where you go, okay, if you feel like you got to be 100% sure that these guys are the man,
yeah,
those guys both check the box. Now, who knew that the Texans and Watson were going to get so sideways that you were going to be moving on? They're moving on from Deshaun eventually for completely different reasons,
right,
than the Eagles and the Rams moved on from Wentz and from Goff. Mahomes is the man. He's the best in the league, so there's no question there. I guess of these three guys, If there's anything that concerns me about each of them, Mayfield, you captured perfectly. Mayfield is just Baker's been. I just don't think he's shown that level yet.
He has no superpower. Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, to me, they both have a superpower. Yeah. I think Mahomes has a superpower. I think Deshaun has superpower.
Yep.
Baker Mayfield does not have that. So I'm gonna wait and see what guys. Does Dak have a superpower?
He's getting paid like he has one.
He is, but he had to wait and see, though.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get it the same year that everybody else did. So, to me, he's in the same category as Baker.
He had to sit through a franchise tag.
He had to sit through that, and then you had to pay him eventually. But those guys, they had the superpower, so you pay them in advance.
So what scares you then about Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen? I would be real nervous that Lamar Jackson's inability to throw at a high level is going to be something that hinders your chances to make deep runs in the postseason. That would scare me if I were a Ravens fan. I would love Lamar Jackson. I would love to have Lamar Jackson here as a quarterback, if it weren't Deshaun. But that would scare me. You know, the same way there's a superpower, do they have an Achilles heel as well? Lamar's got a clear Achilles heel. Does Josh Allen have an Achilles heel to you?
He had one. He used to throw the ball away. He used to throw the ball away like he didn't have any damn sense. Some of the plays that he made against the Texans in that playoff game where he's fumbling the ball all over the place and just making terrible decisions, that was his Achilles heel. He kind of corrected that last year. He wasn't making those mistakes that he made his first couple of years in the league. So right now, to me, he doesn't have an Achilles heel. His Achilles heel is just the fact that he doesn't have a run game.
Yeah.
But him personally, he was a lot more accurate this past season than he was in years past. He still has that cannon of an arm. He can pull the ball down and run it and break your back. He has everything you want as far as that goes. So I don't really see one with him, but what Lamar Jackson brings to the table as far as his superpower sometimes can overshadow and it can make you not even worry about his Achilles heel, because more times than not, the Ravens get leads and they keep leads. And so him having to throw the ball outside the hash doesn't come into play. I would like to see Lamar Jackson to get a true number one receiver also to see if that can help remedy that issue he has with that.
No, they're trying their best to find more weapons for him. I don't know if any of them qualify as a number one receiver, an elite receiver.
He hasn't had one yet.
Yeah, and I know the Ravens, they were in on the Hopkins talks back when Bill O'Brien traded DeAndre Hopkins. I think they were like the other big suitor for him, DeAndre Hopkins. They're trying right now. I guess the question is Hollywood Brown turn into that? I don't know. They signed Sammy Watkins. I think we know what Sammy Watkins is. Really good number two receiver. The Bateman kid out of Minnesota they drafted in the first round. Yeah, who knows? Maybe he turns into something. We'll see. But nothing surefire. That's a team that should have been in on Julio Jones.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were. I think
no, like, I, yeah, they were. I mean, like, but they like that. That's
they should have closed that deal.
To the wall. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. They should have closed the deal. And part of me says that they feel like they want a number one receiver, but they really don't want to do what it takes to get a number one receiver because they're so run heavy. They're so throw the ball to the tight ends, and they might know better than anybody else that Lamar Jackson really is not going to capitalize on a number one receiver the way that other quarterbacks might. So they kind of show face like they're trying to get a guy in there, but they're really not willing to do what it takes to get that guy in there because they can't maximize him like other quarterbacks.
Be like buying a Lamborghini, but you can't drive at night because you have bad vision or something.
Right.
I can only drive it 10 hours out of the day?
Right. It'd be like having Deshaun Watson as your quarterback and not putting in the offensive scheme that fully utilizes him to the best of his ability.
That would never happen. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking
about. Not here.
About. Yeah. No, I don't know. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. All right, Wade Smith in for Seth Payne here on Payne and Pendergast Sports Radio 610. Speaking of Deshaun Watson, Tony Busby, the attorney for the 22 plaintiffs that are currently suing Deshaun Watson, has broken the silence from the two attorneys in this case. He jumped on Instagram early this morning. We will share with you what Tony Busby had to say about the case. 713-572-4610 if you want in on the show. That's next.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Payne and Pendergast on a Friday. Wade Smith, former Pro Bowler, in for Seth Payne, who's out on vacation. So Tony Busby posted on Instagram very early this morning as he that's kind of his go-to move. That's his move down in the low post, is to go on Instagram very late at night, very early in the morning, and start throwing haymakers. I wouldn't say this is a haymaker, really. This is more of a status update. Tony Busby has had a lot of folks reaching out to him with press inquiries recently, and he acknowledges that in this post, that he's had many queries about the Deshaun Watson case. I would imagine a lot of that has to do with the answer that Nick Caserio gave to the question that Seth and I had for him. Ben, cue that up if you could, the short version of that. If just to reset, Seth asked Nick Caserio earlier this week what the team is doing to handle the Deshaun Watson situation behind the scenes with players. Here was the crux of what got everybody talking.
The most important thing is for all of us, you know, our coaches and players, myself included, you know, is to focus on the things that we can control. And as we get more information, as we get closer to training camp, then we'll try to make, you know, the best decision for the Houston Texans, whatever that entails.
All right, so that if you want to read into it and get conspiracy theory about the whole thing, you could think, oh, well, okay, that sounds like there may be something coming down the pipe here. Like, wow, a specific time frame, training camp and decisions and things like that. So that got a lot of people talking, which I would imagine got a lot of people reaching out to Busby to see what he thinks about that or if there is anything worth reporting on. So he acknowledges, Busby does on Instagram, the many queries he's gotten, and he decides to use Instagram to speak to everybody at one time. And the upshot of the post on Instagram is that right now he's saying there will not be a settlement, at least not anytime soon. Points out how hard his team is working on this case behind the scenes. Make sure that we know that the quiet that we're all seeing from the outside right now is not indicative of what's going on behind the scenes inside the walls of Tony Busby's law firm, and also goes on to remind us of what his record is in these cases. You know, he's basically he's the University of Alabama football program of lawyers, according to his post on Instagram here. He does not lose many of these. He is very successful, no doubt about it, as is Rusty Harden,
yeah,
which is what makes this the clash of the Titans if this ever gets to a courtroom, which as of right now, that's what both sides are saying. Wait, so just Busby really with just the status update on things.
He's letting everybody know, hey, I'm 17 deep with lawyers that are out there doing their due diligence and preparing to put together a trial by jury so that they can win their case and serve those clients that they have in fold and make Deshaun Watson pay for his transgressions. And so we'll see what ends up happening coming from it. But when I look at it and I see that, and you hear what he's saying and you hear what has come from Deshaun Watson's camp, this thing is not going to get resolved anytime soon. And when you couple that with what Nick Caserio said is as we get more information, we'll be able to make a decision. It's kind of like, okay, the more information that you're getting from both of the camps is we ain't going nowhere. We're not going to settle. And so I wonder if the information that they're going to get might come from some other factor. Maybe it comes from the Houston Police Department. Maybe it comes from Roger Goodell. There's somebody else that can kind of interject in this, because both of those camps are dug in and it doesn't look like they're going to budge anytime soon.
Yeah. Mike Florio and Chris Sims were chopping things up with the audio from our Caserio interview earlier this week. And they pointed out that there are a lot of folks in a holding pattern right now from a football perspective. Obviously, there's a human perspective to this that we should acknowledge off the top anytime we talk about it. There's 22 plaintiffs that may have had something terrible happen with them if their allegations are true. But from a football perspective, there are a lot of folks right now in a holding pattern over this, Wade. You know, Deshaun Watson himself, the Texans, and what do they do with Deshaun Watson? They would have liked to have moved Deshaun Watson already by now had the legal entanglements not come up. And then teams that are looking to trade for Deshaun Watson. Mike Florio proposes something here that is, you know, certainly outside the box.
At some point, I think it's fair for Watson, Harden, Texans, Eagles, Broncos, Dolphins.
Yeah,
I
right.
think those are the three teams
right.
that would be inclined.
Yep.
To say to the league, you can't just hold this over Deshaun Watson's head, because you're holding it over our heads too. We're trying to figure out what we're going to do this season with our football teams. So you're either going to put him on the commissioner exempt list or you're not. Don't play the Antonio Brown game.
I think there are obviously a lot of flaws in what Florio is proposing there. I think the spirit of what he's talking about there, if purely from purely a football standpoint, makes sense. I think there's probably a lot of people going, oh, poor football people. You know, yeah. There might be 22 plaintiffs who had something bad happen in a massage with Deshaun Watson. So I don't think what Florio is proposing there resonates with the average layperson that watches football at all. The other thing that I just thought of as he was saying that, Wade, and I can't believe I hadn't thought of this as many times as we played that audio, is that if there were to be something like that, like this sort of, you know, this come
meeting
to Jesus
of
meeting
yeah.
of the minds with these teams, obviously it would become public that it had happened because
right.
there's the Rappaports and the Schefters of the world. Nothing gets past them. Would these teams even be inclined to do that? Like, would the Dolphins be inclined to sit on a call about the status of Deshaun Watson when they are publicly saying we're building around Tua Tagovailoa? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like when you really
you're
think it
specifying
out,
yourself
yeah.
as a suitor for Deshaun yeah. Watson publicly
yeah.
as a team. We all know which way the wind's blowing
right.
with a lot of this stuff, but especially the Dolphins and Tua, which is, you know, the Eagles haven't even said Hurts is going to be their starter yet. Who knows what the Broncos situation is, but Tua is the one that I think of where they're trying to proclaim all this great stuff about him publicly. And oh, by the way, we're on a Zoom call with the league to find out how soon we can get our mitts on Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, that would be foolish for any franchise to put themselves in that scenario to where they can be shown to say we're actively trying to pursue Deshaun Watson and everyone knows it. But at the same time, I do think the Texans and Deshaun Watson in his camp talking to the NFL and trying to figure out a way to get some type of resolution one way or the other, it's a legitimate ask. And I wouldn't be surprised if other franchises maybe reached out to Roger Goodell to get a status update to see if there's going to be anything or try to apply some pressure in the back channel ways that they apply pressure. But the whole idea of them all, you know, getting together and knowing that these are the people that are involved that want to be have a part and have interest in Deshaun Watson, that would be foolish. And that part really wasn't well thought out, I don't think, by Florio. But I think he's speaking more, not metaphorically, but I think he's speaking more in theory of, hey, these teams need to know something. And you can put it under the guise of just, hey, the NFL at large needs to know how you're going to handle the situation because you've shown that you have not been proactive in the past. This is an example, and this is an opportunity for you to be proactive. Let's do so that everyone involved can move forward.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Florio may just be listing the people who need to know something about
yeah.
it, not necessarily saying that, you know, they're arranging a conference call at noon today to do a status on Deshaun Watson. That's fair. All right, 713-572-4610. Corey, stay there. Actually, Corey's a caller. We're going to bring him on in a second here. Corey, if you want to, don't hang up, but if you want to, you know, kind of do that thing where you slide our phone call up and it's still going and then you open up your text mechanism. It was this time a week ago, this very time a week ago where we got our first winner here at Odyssey Houston in the nationwide contest that I'm about to tell you about. It's time for a chance to win $1,000. Let's put a grand in your hand. Text the word draft. Oh, draft. For a chance to win $1,000, text DRAFT, that's DRAFT, to 72881. Nationwide entrance will have until the top of the hour to text DRAFT to 72881. Message and data rates apply. We're putting a grand in your hand, powered by BetQL. Win more and cash in more with the help of BetQL. Download the BetQL app today. That's BETQL. And a reminder, again, it was a week ago, in the 8:45, Friday of last week, where Gerald won $1,000.
Hi, this is Gerald from Houston, Texas, and I just won $1,000 listening to the Payne and Pendergrass Morning Show. They keep my mornings pretty satisfying on the way to work.
That's right. We're the most satisfying show in Houston, according to Gerald. You guys know it. So Wade Smith in for Seth Payne. Show is equally satisfying today. And if you win today, then you got to give Wade Smith a shout out, too.
No question about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. He would be our good luck charm. So there you go. Text the word draft to 72881. To the northwest side we go. Corey, you're up on Payne and Pendergrass featuring Wade Smith. What's going on?
All right. Hey, son. And hey, Wade. I got a question. I'm one of the few people here who I really do want the Texans to trade Deshaun to Miami because I'm intrigued by Tua. We know before he had his hip injury in college, he was that dude. He is projected not only to win the Heisman Trophy, but he's projected to be the number one pick. And everybody keeps talking about he threw 5 interceptions. I understand that, but we're giving away a quarterback in his prime, and Tua hasn't even hit his prime yet. I think it's more of a Brett Favre situation when he was in Atlanta and Jerry Glanville didn't want him, but the GM did. I think the GM of the Dolphins wanted Tua, but Brian Flores didn't. And maybe if he comes here, Pep Hamilton can help him out, because actually, if you look at it, Tim Kelly's offense fits Tua way better than it fits David Mills, and I would just like to see him come down there, get a clean slate, and get a shot, because I think he has untapped potential, and I think we might end up getting a bargain. He's not Deshaun Watson, but he's way closer than what we got, and the options we have is quarter trade in Denver and Philly. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Corey. We appreciate the phone call. Look, certainly in terms of pedigree, he's much closer to Deshaun Watson than anything the Texans have on the roster. I guess, well, what are your thoughts on what Corey had to say?
Well, first of all, I thought the call was very well thought out. He brought up a good example of Brett Favre in his first years with Atlanta, and how he looked like a completely different player than what he became with the Green Bay Packers. I'm not a fan of Tua. I'm just
me
not,
neither.
Not a fan of Tua. I remember watching him coming in, and he looked like he was going to be something special when he came in for Jalen Hurts in that NFC, but the national championship game, and played at such a high level. And in the following year, he was doing numbers, but he was doing numbers with every possible advantage that you can have, and he didn't have a superpower. You like a guy like Kyler Murray. He has the best offensive scheme. He has a lot of great skill position players around him, but he had his own superpowers. So I feel like it's going to translate in the NFL. On his own, he's going to be a hell of a player. I really didn't see that out of Tua. And, you couple that with the injury, I'm just not sold on what he can bring to the table. So the Tua aspect of it, I wouldn't mind him coming here in a trade. I wouldn't get excited about it, and I wouldn't put all my eggs in that basket that would feel like he's going to be the future. It's one of those things like, hey, if he works out, great. You don't have to use the picks on somebody else. But I don't have any expectations on him working out like that, because I don't see him being that guy.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Tua threw the 5 picks in practice earlier this week. Now, he followed up the practice the next day. He was better, still wasn't as good, still wasn't that great, according to the reports that I saw out of Miami. Here's Brian Flores, the Miami coach, following not the 5-pick practice, but the practice the next day. Does this sound like somebody who is all in on Tua Tagovailoa?
Yeah, I think he's worked extremely hard, getting himself ready to play as much as he did last year. I think he's just continued to build on rehabbing the hip, and really kind of, I would say, training just from a total body standpoint. I think he's done a nice job, from that standpoint. He looks healthy, and he's really just trying to improve in all areas, and we're happy and pleased with where he's at.
Yeah, I mean, you sound thrilled, Brian. You're over the moon on Tua. Now, to be fair, I don't listen to a lot of Brian Flores press conferences. His baseline for energy in a press conference, maybe what we just heard right there. A lot of Garrett Cole-like pauses in there. It was almost like they asked him about spider tack and what he thought about that.
At least he wasn't crying.
Right. True. I'm with you on Tua. I think, Wade, my thing with Tua, and I would have the same concern with Mac Jones if I were a Patriot fan, is that they're playing in an offense that is such a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
Everything that they've got around them as a quarterback is just so much better than every opponent that they're playing every week. I mean, the windows that Tua and Mac Jones are throwing into as quarterbacks, the protection that they get when they're dropping back in the pocket, the receiver, oh my God, look at the receivers these guys.
I think they've had like 5 first-round receivers in the past like 2 years.
And they've all and they're all guys who the NFL still feels pretty good about, even after being drafted very, very high, including one of Tua's teammates now in Jalen Waddle. I don't want to penalize every Alabama quarterback going forward. Whoever plays quarterback for them this year will be doing it with Bill O'Brien as their offensive coordinator, so you got to add that into the calculus.
Yeah.
But It's just something about the quarterbacks playing that offense where everything, it's almost too perfect. You know what I mean? Like, I have no idea what I'm drafting here in some ways.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the skill guys, but even their offensive line, the running backs, everything about it, the tight ends, they have big-time players at every spot. And so it's not going to be the case when you get in the NFL. The thing about Tua is, and when I hear Brian Flores talk, I'm hearing him discussing and kind of meshing through how Tua is figuring out physiologically or physically how to play the game again. And you're, if you're trying to figure out how to play the game again physically, but then you're also trying to learn how to be a starting quarterback in the NFL and be a franchise guy, I'm not really excited about the proposition of him figuring out why he's playing for my team, mm-hmm. you know, because you don't know if it's ever going to work out. And, you know, last year you talked about Tua admitted himself that he really didn't know the offense. I mean, he's trying to figure out how to use his hips again correctly and work on his technique just to do it the way he used to do it. And then he also has to learn how to play at the NFL level. It's a tough ask. And so it's almost like you want to let him learn how to be a quarterback again when he's a backup somewhere and not necessarily being your guy. And so the more Tua plays and the more hesitant that Brian Flores is in his praise and his belief in Tua, to me that gives an opportunity for a guy like Deshaun Watson getting traded there and the Texans getting a significant haul in return.
Yeah. Yeah, the Dolphins, we should mention, have four first-round picks over the next three drafts. So that's they fit the profile of a team that Nick Caserio should be talking to, no doubt about that. Someone texts in, sorry, guys, that's just too much work to win $1,000. Jeez, type this, type that. they say LOL afterwards, so they're just joking, but I thought that tickled me. That was funny. All right, we head into the 9 o'clock hour. Wade Smith is in for Seth Payne today on a Friday. Dallas Keuchel went in on Jeff Luhnow earlier this week. He met with the media yesterday out at Minute Maid Park. Dallas Keuchel did. He did not let up on the former general manager of the Astros. You'll hear it next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.